Recently, I was listening to an audiobook about a fictional account of a pandemic, a worldwide disease that threatens all of humanity. I've always had an interest in movies or books that explore this phenomenon of sort of apocalyptic events. It's interesting to me to consider what people do when they're faced with this sort of global crisis. Naturally, in these stories, the heroes always try to stop this calamity from occurring, or they at least try to contain the problem. Whether it's a disease or a nuclear war or an asteroid impact or something like that, whatever kind of crisis it is, humanity naturally tries to overcome it and stop it and survive. What's interesting to me is to reflect on what people do in such times. Because inevitably, life gets simple in a sense. It becomes much more practical. It's about survival. It's about holding on to what we love and care about most. A lot of things that seemed important just a little bit ago perhaps quickly lose their top priority. When facing a global crisis, we aren't that worried about our favorite sports team or how they're doing, or we don't care how much money we make or what sort of car we drive. We just want to know that our loved ones are going to be okay and that we're going to survive. In our day-to-day lives, we are often preoccupied with these things that really, in a larger sense, maybe don't matter as much as we think they do. And there is a pandemic, we could say, in our world today. It's not one that we directly see that affects us biologically, our biological health directly, but it is affecting us. Sin has infected us, and we are all affected by it. We often try to treat our sins on our own, apart from God. Or sometimes we try to ignore them. But God has sent his Son to become one of us, to become the man Jesus. He did this to save us, to help us, to give us the grace that we need and a cure for this disease of sin. And baptism cures our original sin. Now, you've probably heard original sin is not something that we've done, but it's rather a state that we're born into. The human nature was wounded by this original sin, so our souls need help. Original sin is like a genetic mutation or an inherited trait. It affects everyone. But it doesn't mean that we can't heal it or offset its effects. And baptism is that very thing. It protects us from the effects of original sin, and it keeps us from having to undergo death on account of original sin. It also heals us from any actual sins that we've done, freely chosen to commit prior to our baptism. So baptism not only saves us from sin, but it also marks us as a person belonging to God. And we can truly be called children of God once we've been baptized, because our baptism is this receiving of the indwelling of God. God's Spirit comes and dwells in us. It's an incredible moment for us when this happens, when we receive the Holy Spirit, the indwelling of God in our very selves. Because at baptism we receive this grace. We're called to live that out then. It's something that is ongoing. It's not something we can see physically, though. So without faith, without really trusting in God, we can't see it. And so we might say, is it really something that's important? Is it something that's affecting me? Baptism is something that saves us from sin. It marks us as children of God. And so we have to trust in that. And if we don't have faith or understanding, we might miss the significance of what happens at our baptism. In baptism, we share the effects of Christ's death and his resurrection. Basically, we are given the ability to live on the supernatural level. If you were at Theology on Tap a few months ago, Father Michael Gary used this analogy of living on Mars. To live on Mars, you need a special equipment. You need a spacesuit or something. You can't just do it naturally. So we need this special equipment. We can't do it on our own. When we're baptized, we receive this special capacity to live the supernatural life, something we can't do apart from God. It's like living, or it's like having the necessary equipment to live on Mars. We can't do it on our own. It's not something that comes natural to us, but it can be given to us, and then we can do it. So baptism isn't just a rite of passage. It's not a cultural celebration. It's not a rubber stamp or a good luck charm. Baptism is this beginning of life in Christ. And that's not all that it is. It's the beginning, and then we have to live it out. In order for us to be baptized in the church, she says that we need to be able to have a founded hope that that baptized person will continue living their faith. In other words, there has to be a sense of like, we're starting something and it's going to continue on. It's not just a start and then peter out. And that means there's an expectation that in this moment, at that moment that we're baptized, that there's an expectation that we're going to live that out, that daily lived relationship with Jesus the rest of our lives. So when parents and godparents state their intentions during the baptismal rite, they're basically taking an oath to do all that they can to help that baptized child live their faith. And when an adult is baptized, they themselves are making this claim that they're going to do all that they can to live their faith the rest of their lives. So it's a big claim. It's a big step. And it's not always, there's a lot of unknowns, right? What am I going to face? How can I say yes to something that I don't know what it entails? It's a big step, and we have faith that God is going to give us the graces to live it out. Therefore, if there's no intention or no reasonable hope that a person who is being baptized will be living their faith and is going to continue to live their faith, they probably should consider that. You know, is this something I should really do? Maybe I'm not ready yet if I can't commit to that. And that's why some priests will expect parents to attend Mass regularly for a certain period, maybe 6 months or something like that, before they baptize their child. Or they want them to be registered in the parish, or there's different little hoops that we set up to kind of say, this is important. We don't want you to just do this off a whim. We want you to make some kind of commitment to this. In order to show that there's a founded hope that the baptismal graces will have a place to take root. Now, I tend to be a little bit lenient on this. Maybe a little too much so sometimes, or maybe, I don't know, maybe you think I'm really strict, I don't know. But it would be nice to see that people are really intending to live their faith, that they don't just want something for a moment, but they want the whole bag that comes with it, the whole shebang, you might say, the whole thing. And that they're making this a priority to live their faith. When parents ask for baptism for their child, I try to share with them what they're asking for. And I try to see, is this what you're asking for? Do you understand what you're asking for? What the Lord expects of you? And if they say, yes, we want that for a child, I tend to take them at their word. Okay, good. I'm glad. This is a foundational sacrament, after all. It kind of sets the foundation for every other sacrament, for every other grace that we can receive. And so it's really important. We want to offer it to everyone who is desiring it and wanting it. If there's not a lot of follow-through after the fact, after someone's baptized, it does make me sad. It is something like, I was hoping that they would really take some steps. But I trust that the Lord can work it out. You know, sometimes it takes time. This is always a struggle with regard to any of the sacraments that we receive just once, whether it's baptism or confirmation or marriage even, it can be sometimes. If someone asks for a sacrament, but they aren't really living their faith, and they don't show a lot of follow-through, what should we do? What should be done in that situation? You know, it can be kind of hard to judge that. You know, as a priest, you're kind of supposed to have that founded hope. What do you do? Well, we heard in Isaiah today, a bruised reed he shall not break, and a smoldering wick he shall not quench. So there's a sense where it's like, okay, I think we should err on the side of mercy. I think we should err on the side that God wants to work in this person's life, and they're showing some sign that they want it. So let's try to help that. The Lord wants to give us a chance, especially if we're sincere in our desire. Now, sometimes you judge a situation and say, I don't know if this person is really sincere. They seem to be asking on behalf of somebody else. So maybe their grandparents or their parents want them to have their child baptized. But are they really wanting it for their child? Sometimes you have to kind of weigh that. Where's the sincerity? Where's the desire? Is it a true desire? Or is it just something that is kind of like, I just need to do this so that my parents will be happy? We face these challenges sometimes. And, you know, understandably, there are obstacles for people at times. Maybe they have a true desire, and yet just things in their life that are going on that it's difficult for them to follow through. I really do want people to live their faith. As a priest, that's something that gives me great joy when I see that. When I see that in my parishioners and you, it's an awesome feeling. Like, okay, God is working in this person's life. What a beautiful thing that is to see. To be in relationship with the Lord, I know sometimes that this takes time to develop. And it's not always easy for someone to begin practicing their faith if they haven't developed that habit already. Even if they want to, there are factors that can impede them from doing so. And I understand this is a reality. At the end of the day, Christ established this sacrament so that we could begin this supernatural life. That's what it's given to us for. If we are baptized or we have our children baptized, we are held responsible for living this supernatural life, which means a lived relationship with God. It's an amazing gift, one that we should eagerly seek and desire, but it also comes with a great deal of responsibility and a certain expectations that are made of us, which we should not take lightly. So today, as we celebrate the baptism of the Lord, I wanted to take this opportunity to renew now our own baptismal promises. So I am going to ask you to please stand.